Today we are approaching the end of Paul's letter to the Romans. This letter served as a platform for Paul to share his understanding of the gospel with a group of believers he had never met in person with. And his goal in sharing this letter with them was to help them grow in their faith, which explains why this letter's full of theology and practical advice. Now in chapter 15, the chapter that we'll study today, Paul speaks to the kinds of actions and behaviors that should be present in the life of each believer. Paul wanted the Romans to live a distinctive life that's marked by faith, hope, peace, and joy. And he wanted most of all for them to follow the example of Jesus. So let's listen now to our scripture reading. I'll read the first 13 verses of chapter 15. And this is what Paul writes. We who are strong ought to put up with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall have hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the way members of the Roman church were behaving caught Paul's attention because he didn't like the example they were setting. They were living rather selfish lives, doing things just to please themselves. Paul knew they could do better. In fact, he believed that Christian behavior should look distinctive, making a positive impact on the world, like salt flavoring food or yeast that leavens dough. But apparently, the Roman believers were missing the mark. They weren't living up to their calling as Christians. Now, perhaps they were just behaving like everyone else in Rome. After all, it's just easy to go with the flow and act like everyone else and to follow the examples you see in leaders and in celebrities in society. We often talk about our kids imitating what they see on TV. But adults also take their cues from business, political, and civic leaders. And in the world of social media, there are influencers who use their power to affect the decisions we make and the products we buy. I want us to recognize that there are a number of different forces that can potentially shape our behavior. Now, we need to be aware of this, but ultimately, we have to decide for ourselves what the right course of action is. A wise person once pointed out that when it comes to determining the rightness of our actions, people tend to fall into two different groups. One group asks, what's the harm? They want to know if their actions will cause any damage. But the other group goes deeper and they ask, what's the good? They want to know what they can do to make the world a better place. Now, it's always easier to be content with doing no harm than it is to make the effort to improve the world by taking positive action. Now, Paul wanted the Roman believers to take positive action that builds people up. Of course, he was aware of the different forces that shape people's behavior for both good and for bad. And he was aware that some of this was at play in the Roman church, where disagreements were threatening to get out of control and to do damage to the church. And Paul therefore urged the church to rely on two positive influences, that is, the example of Jesus and the message of Scripture. So let's look at the example of Jesus first. When Paul starts this chapter by addressing we who are strong, he's referring to the people in the church who have some maturity in the faith. And he calls on them in verse 1 to put up with the failings of the weak. And the weak are those who are spiritual adolescents. They have a lot to learn. Now, these two different groups were in conflict with each other, and they really weren't behaving very well. So Paul offered some help to them by telling them that they need to follow the example of Jesus by meeting the needs of other people first before trying to please themselves. A paraphrase of Romans 15 found in the Message really puts it in a great way, and it says, "Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help?" That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but he waded right in and helped out. "I took on the troubles of the troubled," is the way Scripture puts it. We should rely on the example of Jesus because it is a great help. Now, we know enough about Jesus' life that when we're faced with a difficult situation or a tough issue and we don't know what to do, we can consider what Jesus would do and use that as our guide. But looking to Jesus as our example can also be intimidating because his skill at dealing with the hard things in life isn't something we can replicate very well. And we may tell ourselves that there's no way we can live up to that standard. And so trying to follow that example can be discouraging to us. This is something that I think Paul must have wrestled with because he goes on to pray in verse 5 that the God of steadfastness and encouragement would grant to believers the ability to live in a way that's in accordance with Jesus Christ. Now, Paul even expresses a confidence that God will give us the inspiration and the desire to follow that example. And he makes this point in his letter to the Philippians where he writes, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul wants the members of the Roman church to allow themselves to be influenced by Jesus' example, and then to put that example into service. The same is true for us. We should let Jesus' example shape our behavior. And this is something we should constantly hold in our prayers. We should pray that we will have the desire to put that example into action each and every day. Now, the other force that Paul wants the Roman Christians to rely on is the message of Scripture. Now, it helps to remember that most Christians in the Roman church were Gentiles. They had not been raised up in the Jewish faith, and they weren't familiar with the Hebrew Scriptures, what we call the Old Testament. Many of these Gentile Christians thought of those Scriptures as something written for Jews that didn't apply to them. But Paul understood that everyone who follows Jesus, both Jew and Gentile, are among the inheritors of that Scripture. Paul didn't want any believer to be without the help, guidance, and inspiration that the Bible offers. And so he knew that their spirituality would be deprived and impoverished without it. And for that reason, Paul instructs the Roman Christians to read the Bible. He goes on to say in verse 4, For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. Now, the meaning of these words, I think, is best captured in the paraphrasing of this scripture in the Message, where it reads, "Even if it was written in scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us." God wants the combination of his steady, constant calling and warm personal counsel in scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. Now, when Paul says that scripture was written for our instruction, he knew that the Roman Christians weren't the original audience for the books of the Old Testament. He wasn't suggesting that the books of Moses or Jeremiah or Isaiah were composed with first century Roman Christians in mind, or for that matter, 21st century American Christians. They weren't written this way. But Paul was saying that God has given Scripture a life that goes beyond its original setting, and it becomes Scripture when believers place themselves under its direction. Now, this was true for the Roman Christians, and it's true for us. The Bible is the book for the community of people who are in a covenant relationship with God. When we place ourselves under the direction of Scripture, we find meaning, inspiration, and guidance, and our actions and behaviors are changed as we live by its instructions. Now, as followers of Jesus, we are inheritors of Scripture. These words are for us. And we know that the Bible was written for another time and place, but we believe God has chosen to communicate to us through its words. Now, there are lots of details in the Bible that don't apply to our circumstances today, but our task as inheritors of Scripture is to apply the meaning and the spirit of its words to our lives today. When we do that, we find that Scripture is quite relevant to us. Now, life gives us all kinds of challenges, some which discourage us and some leave us wondering what's the purpose of it all. But the Scriptures speak to us as we go through tough and stressful situations. The Scriptures inspire us to keep moving forward and to live with hope. As Paul says in verse 4, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, steadfastness is the grit that refuses to give in to those forces that try to pull us down. Encouragement is fuel for that steadfastness. And hope is what keeps us alert to what God will do next. Hope is a confidence that God is still working in our world, in our lives, and will continue to do so. By following the example of Jesus and the message of Scripture, our behavior is shaped in a positive way. And these two forces will sustain us so that we can live a truly distinctive life, a life rooted in Christ, a life of love, a life of hope, peace, and joy, a life known for the welcome and hospitality that it extends to other people. The way we live our lives should reflect what we truly believe. And this is one of the best ways that we can live out the gospel and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. There's an old song called The World's Bible that captures this idea, and some of its lyrics go, "We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in word and deed." And Paul shared a similar thought in his second letter to the Corinthian church. He said, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, to be known and read by all. And you show that you are a letter of Christ, prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Paul calls on the followers of Jesus to live distinctive lives full of hope, peace, and joy, so that together we may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul puts it in verse 6. Our actions do matter. The way we treat others, the way we handle our money, the way we use our possessions, the way we carry out our work, speak to what we truly believe. As followers of Jesus, we are called to make a positive impact on this world, just like salt that flavors food, and just like yeast that leavens dough. So let's make every effort to live in such a way that we glorify God and build up our neighbors. I invite you to join me in prayer. Would you bow your heads now and pray with me? Oh God, you call on us to live in a distinctive way where our actions are seasoned with hope, peace, and joy. Sometimes it is a challenge for us to live like this because there are many forces that try to pull us down. And so we pray today for encouragement and steadfastness to press on. And we pray for inspiration and guidance because we want our lives to glorify you, and we want our actions to make a difference in this world. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.